Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of June 7th, 2010. I'm your host, Zach, and joining me this week is Brian.
Hello, everybody.
Chris.
Howdy.
And special guest, Chris's friend, Joe.
Hey, gang.
Who apparently got Chris into, like, all his crazy, horrible movies.
I like to call him Patient Zero.
So, we got a lot to talk about this week, so why don't we get right into show and tell. Brian, why don't you start?
Okay, so first off, this weekend I saw Alice in Wonderland, the new one, the Tim Burton one.
The billion-dollar movie.
Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
I actually really liked it. 4 out of 5 stars.
Whoa.
Yeah, I actually did. I thought the special effects were tremendous. Great cast.
I even thought Crispin Glover's like crazy like elongated body looked good because that looked horrible.
I didn't really notice it that much, so I guess that goes to show you. But I love Crispin Glover anyway.
It's sort of like, they just like put his head on like a CG body.
I don't know. I didn't really notice. I mean, they must have skewed it a little bit, but
it was just because I thought it was 3D. But
it was really good. Like I said, good cast. Although I'd like to see Tim Burton make a movie without Johnny Depp or his wife.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, cycling some new people.
Or Danny Elfman score. Where did you like the score?
Or Danny, yeah. But he did a really good job, and as I thought he would, I thought, you know, when you think of, like, a live-action Alice in Wonderland, he's, like, at the top of the list of directors that would be good for that, and he did an absolutely wonderful job. Kind of dark for a kids' movie, but I believe the original story is a bit dark for a kids' movie. And I love how they set it up. Pretty much as a sequel, like she's returning to Wonderland, and this is after her first adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And just let me say, all the English people in the opening scene, I mean, they're super stuffy as shit. Like, even more than, like, English people at that time. They're just so...
Talking about the continent and stuff.
Yeah, and she's like, she's saying something silly. Like, she's saying something silly, and they're like, a little girl doesn't say things like that. You know, raise their monocle or whatever.
Damn, Welsh.
That's Chris's views, not of mine. But
what do you think of Johnny Depp's crazy breakdancing, Brian?
I thought it was stupid. And one of the few flaws that I saw that just kind of distracted for it. You know, it was coming after they talked about it.
Yeah. And what'd you think of like his crazy like changing like from like Scottish to like then like talking like Braveheart and then like going back normal?
I liked it.
You liked it?
I mean, I thought he did the accent well. The whole drifting in and out was a little silly, but you know. The whole movie's silly, so I just kind of went with it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I saw the 2010 MTV Movie Awards for one only reason.
I didn't know you were a 13-year-old girl, Brian.
I woke up with pigtails, what can I say? Aziz Ansari, of course, you know from Parks and Recreation, has a great stand-up comedy album called Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening. Very good. Check that out. And, of course, Human Giant, the former MTV series. They had a Human Giant short, which was pretty good.
Was it new Shutterbugs?
Yeah, actually, it was post-Shutterbugs. They become stunt kids.
Oh, God.
And it's where they have, like, instead of stuntmen in movies, they use little kids. And it was hilarious.
Like in China.
Exactly.
You would know, Chris.
It's a dark tale.
And now you ruined my train of thought. Awesome.
Suck kids. And then
he did an Trapped in the Closet Avatar thing where he did like an R. Kelly rap to Avatar. And he ended it with Fuck You BP, which was awesome.
Oh yeah, I heard there was like they were not censoring anything last night. Or like Sunday, so
they were trying to, but there was a skit where Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell were hanging from the ceiling and you know, Mark Wahlberg was just letting it rip. And he dropped a few F-bombs and S-bombs, and they never got picked up.
Awesome.
And, of course, Twilight won a lot of awards. I will never understand why that's so popular. It was pretty weak. I was expecting more. You know, Aziz is a pretty funny guy, but
what about Tom Cruise?
That movie came
out. As Les Grossman.
Bring it back. 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it's obvious they're doing it because of Night and Day.
Well, because he also wants to do an actual full movie on Les Grossman.
I'd watch it.
I'd be the first in line for that.
It's just that, you know, it was so great to see, like, when he did it in Tropic Thunder, mostly because they tried to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
But that, I think the whole of that getting stale, it's getting dangerously close.
Just like a whole, like, 90-minute movie with just, like, him just, like, yelling at people.
Yeah, and they'll probably do it mockumentary style.
Probably.
A bit better. But, yeah, they had an opening sequence with him, you know, talking about how he's producing the show, and you had, like, Will Smith. And it was cool to see Will Smith and Tom Cruise, like, acting together. And, and then they had, like, this parody where he brings in, like, Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson in, and he's like, all right, two words for you guys, buddy cops. And they had, like, you know, just them with, like, fake mustaches, and it's actually kind of funny. It made me laugh. But,
could you hear overall, like, girls screaming?
Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. Oh, even worse, they had those Jersey Shore idiots on the pre-show. I wanted to hang myself. It's like, okay, these people are famous because they were on a show, and they were famous for being stupid, and there's millions of those people all over the place. Whatever. But,
it's
the
called Jersey, man.
Yeah, I know. And you wonder why. Yeah, never mind.
Should be good soup.
Don't drink the water.
I'll save my comments. But, the whole MTV Movie Awards were pretty crappy.
Should be good soup, though, this week.
Yeah, they should have a lot on the soup. And one quick thing, not really action, but I saw it last night, TBS's new animated series, Neighbors from Hell, from South Park's Pam Brady. She's worked with Matt and Trey for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Sucked?
Okay.
Great cast, great voice cast, but the animation was flat, the writing was flat. So I would suggest you avoid it. It's probably going to get canceled. So.
I'm glad I watched Pawn Stars then.
And that's my show and tell.
Okay. Chris, I know you only had, like, one thing.
Like, one thing, and that was Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Good choice,
man. Where's the current?
Well, you know, nothing else on, and I just threw it on demand. And just relive the idea that if you, like, break your arm, and your body magically heals it by giving freakishly weird, like, tendon strength,
mm-hmm.
and you just whip fastballs at people, and You could go to the Dodgers or
Cubs.
Chicago Cubs. Yep. They signed Chicago Cubs. They're so desperate for people to have – it's like a freak show in Chicago apparently. I wish Charlie was on because he could probably defend this now that he lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
They should remake that movie with Jaden Smith.
And it should be like a soccer movie instead.
Yeah.
No.
Cricket.
I'm not sure what a cricket rookie star would be like. Oh, well.
Stick it to the wicket.
That's what they could call it.
Stick it to the wicket. Of course, like, Gary Busey is, like completely sedated in that movie, which is weird to see.
Right. Disney, like, I think Rookie of the Year was a Disney movie, right?
It came out around, like, that time. Because that was, like, the mid-90s was, like, Mighty Ducks, Big Green, Little Giants, all those movies came out.
Right, well, whatever company, like, you know, produced it. They gave Gary Busey so much drugs or so much money to, like, for him to not, like, say any curses, like, do any of his normal antics. And this is before, like, that motorcycle accident that made him legally crazy. So it's like, you know.
But it's made by Fox.
Fox, okay. Well.
And it was directed by Marv from the Home Alone movies.
What? Well, he's in it too, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hot Ice.
Wait, was this before Icy Hot or no? Nah, Icy Hot was longer. Like has been around, right?
Yeah, I think so.
For a long time. Yeah. Well.
Gay.
So, no, just like if you were to watch this movie, it's such a really weird concept of like a kids movie because it's like it tells kids like break your arm,
mm-hmm.
you'll become like an athlete, a star athlete somehow.
You get Pepsi endorsements.
You get to like ruin the image of Ray Charles.
Yep.
And for unknown reasons, what was it like? He break. I remember there's like two pivotal points where like he breaks his arm and heals, and his arm becomes some sort of super canyon arm.
Yeah.
And then the last part of the movie where like he breaks his arm again, but like it magically fixes everything.
He snaps it back in place or something.
Hey Chris, I have your next article ideas. Movies that teach kids bad things. And that could be in there.
Movies
with the worst lessons.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like, and also like to celebrate the. I actually did see a little bit of Goonies, but like it's one of those movies I've crammed that movie in my head.
Oh yeah,
so that, like,
what was it? Monday was the 25th anniversary.
Right, anniversary, and like I just watched a little bit, but like you know, it's just one of those movies where you don't need to watch all of it because you've seen it so many damn times. And it's like Goonies is one of those movies. It's like just get lost and Astoria, Oregon, and like magical things will happen, and Italian mafia will just follow you.
And befriend a giant mutant.
Befriend an inbred. Giant, and you definitely know that Sloth was inbred. Like, there's no way around it.
Yeah, it's
Mama
it's
Fratelli. Insane. She got around.
Oh God,
with her own kin.
Oh,
well, hey, you said it.
Why don't we move on?
Yes, please.
Joe, did you watch anything last week that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, as sad as it is, I haven't really gotten around to watching that much because I've been so caught up in playing Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, I just bought that this past weekend.
Good Lord, man. I mean, clear your schedule.
Yes.
Really, because Rockstar as a company tends to make games that are really, really immersive, but this sort of takes it to a whole new level, but I'm not really sure if it's a good thing or not, because instead of running around and doing cool stuff in Liberty City, I was trying to fill my quota for types of plants that I need to pick. In, like, you know, Bucktooth Canyon or wherever the hell I was. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's different, but it's great. I actually just finished it up last night and was sorely disappointed. But I won't really get into any spoilers for those who have just bought it.
I still got, like, 30 hours of it to play, so...
Yeah, man, like, just quit your job, you know? Yep. Just finish it.
I spent, like, 2 hours playing Liar's Dice.
Oh, God. I know. Okay, now, I'm not saying that this is my opinion, but the game makes it very easy to win in Mexico. So I don't know if they're trying to say something about Mexican intelligence circa, you know, 1910, or if it's just a, you know, little glitch that got swept under the carpet, but it's very easy to win when you make it down to Mexico.
Hmm. Maybe Poe just got there, so...
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe Matt was just, you know, brought there. So who knows? We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, I actually wanted to raise a question about Rookie of the Year. Now, Chris, do you think that possibly, as Gary Busey got more and more insane, that they started having, like, Busey Wranglers on his set? Because I know that they bring in, like, animal specialists if he got, like, you know, a hawk or something. You think there was someone just, like, feeding him, like, horse tranquilizers and, like, you know, issues of, like, Cracked magazine or something just to, like, sedate him.
And, like, false teeth for him to, like, wear and smile at people.
Then they had that
Maybe, like, animal bones to chew. I have no idea.
Well, they had that show, like, Living with Busey.
On Comedy Central. That was way back.
Oh, Lord. I don't know how he agreed to that in the first place.
A bag of cocaine? Like, come on, Busey.
Well, that would actually fill in a lot of holes, so you may be right.
I remember I was flipping through the channels and I was on some, like, maybe it was AMC, but they had, like, the Buddy Holly documentary.
Oh, my God,
yes. He's in it, and he's, like, 24 years old. I was like,
young
good
Gary
God.
A Academy Award nominated Gary Busey.
Unbelievable.
It is crazy.
It's a sick, sad world we live in. It really is.
All right, so I guess I'll wrap up Show and Tell, because I saw quite a few things this week. Last Thursday was the premiere of Burn Notice and Royal Pains for the summer, which I don't think any of you guys watch Burn Notice.
I actually love Burn Notice.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did you see the season 4 premiere?
I have not because I missed about 6 episodes of the first half of the season. So I just, you know, I figured I'd just wait till DVD.
Okay. Well, it was kind of... It was sort of like a very set up episode of Burn Notice. Like they're trying to set up everything for like the what's going to happen this season. But
yeah, they have those.
Yeah. But awesome cameo from Michael Ironside in the season 4 premiere.
Oh, cool.
And they're introducing a new character too. So
good times.
Let it be known that I have season one, disc one of Burn Notice on DVD.
Thank you.
Sitting next to my TV.
Okay.
So I will most likely have that to talk about next week.
The pilot is kind of weird, but because there's a few things that like they change for like the rest of the show, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when Faye was like Irish, and then they changed it to yes. like, something
yeah.
else.
Well, I think Gabrielle Noir is like English or something, really. So.
Yeah.
But she's like the worst Irish accent I've ever heard in any media.
Yeah, it is pretty awkward, and like she seems to get more Irish in certain episodes. You know, and like every couple of episodes, they'll reference the fact that she was like in the IRA
yeah.
just to like. Reassure us that she's from Ireland.
Mm-hmm. And then also Royal Pains, which is on its second season, which is like House but in the Hamptons. We're like
I don't feel sorry for rich people who are too lazy to go to like the local doctor. I don't know.
If only someone would make a house call.
I know. Well, this season it looks like it's gonna be good because they added Marcia Gay Harden as like this like playing like an Uber bitch like she always does. It's like she's like the head surgeon of the local hospital or something. And Henry Winkler is their dad. Is Dr. Hank's dad. He's like a con artist deadbeat.
Always nice to see him.
Yep.
So it's like the Fonz of later years.
It's more like Barry Zuckerkorn.
And I'm off the Burger King.
Rest Development, okay.
Yes.
Another great show.
Mm-hmm. And for movies, I saw I got from Netflix 9, which is the animated, like, post-apocalyptic...
Oh, not the dance one?
No, not the dance one. Even though it has Daniel Day-Lewis in it, but... Just not a very big musical guy. Yeah, this is, like... It's, like, the sack people. Like, sect, and they, like, have to go, like, fight machines and stuff.
The age-old battle.
Yeah.
Sack versus machine.
Nope.
How was it?
It was... Like, I'd give it, like, a 3, probably. Like, it had some good voice. Like, the voice cast was good, and, like, animation, like, the style of it was really good. But, like, there's, like, literally no plot.
The plot's, like, a page. They stretch it out
pretty much,
into,
yeah.
like, an hour. Because the 9's based on the short film that anyone could watch on YouTube, and it was a pretty good, like, short film. Like, it was one guy, and, like, he sat around for his, it was just, like, his senior project.
I think
project.
He made it on his laptop, yeah. So everyone's, like,
yeah, like
freaking out about
that
it.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
But then it's, like, this high production value, and it's the same thing, but now, like, 90 minutes long.
Yeah, it's, like, the sacks wake up, the machines hunt them. That's pretty much the whole movie.
Yep.
So, yeah, but, like, the design of, like, the machines and stuff was pretty awesome, so.
It's, like, freakishly nightmare. So it's, like, stuff that they give to children in Japan to cuddle with and sleep with.
It's, like, a cat's, like... like skull on like this like crazy like wire body thing.
Eat your vegetables or Skullcat will rape you in your sleep.
Yes. And then there's like crazy like baby doll cobra thing. It like freezes you.
Hypnotizes
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't the best. And then the last thing I saw was the lost 80s classic Solar Babies.
Solar Babies.
Man, is that a sequel?
You got me
to...
with that one. I have
yeah,
never
wow.
heard of Solar Baby.
Is that a sequel to Baby Geniuses?
No, it isn't.
Oh,
one could only hope.
So, I guess, yeah, brace yourself for this, like, description because it's, like, really long. But it's a post-apocalyptic future where the entire
awesome.
Earth is desert. And then this, like, fascist military group called the Eco Protectorate controls all the water. And then they take kids... when they're, like, really, like, they're babies, and they take them to these orphanages to, like, train them to become, like, members of the Eco-Protectorate. And in the orphanages, they play this game called Skateball, which is, like, with cross plus roller hockey. And the Solar Babies are one of these teams. And then, after they play, like, this illegal game against, like, the evil, like, douchebag Scorpion team. Like, they're, like, the typical 80s, like, bad, like, bullies.
Are they wearing red and, like, orange and red?
They're wearing
something
green,
like that?
Actually. But, like,
wow.
The lead bully has, like bleached hair. He's like, you guys have nothing.
He has, like, one earring that was, like, comically huge.
Oh, there have to be blatant tones of, like, homoeroticism going on the Scorpions.
Yeah, they're, like, jostling each other and stuff. And, like,
oh, it's the hallmark of 80s villainy, yeah. You know? Just have to be, like, sexually ambiguous.
And he's like a Nazi in training, too. Like, the head, he's, like, there's, like, this evil, like, they call him the Stricter. He's, like, the head of the Eco-Protectorate or something, like, the security forces. And he wears, like, this, like paisley blue, like, suit. And, like the Scorpions, like, his personal, like, lackeys or whatever. So they play this illegal game, and then, like, they're, like, getting chased by, like, the guards or whatever. And, like, the youngest kid, Daniel, finds, like, this, like, glowing sphere, which is, like, this actually, like, this, like, alien being called Bodai. And it gives him back his hearing. And it can also make things, like, it can make it rain inside and stuff. And it can, like, communicate with the kids telepathically. So then, like, this mystic kid named Darkstar takes it and, like, runs off to, like, give it to, like, his desert tribe.
That's what I'm going to name my first child.
Darkstar. Yeah. So then, like, the slower babies go off and, like, chase after it. Chase after him and, like, hijinks ensue.
Gotta love those hijinks, man.
Yeah. And it stars pre-Lost Boys Jason Patrick and Jamie Gertz. Wow.
Jesus.
So, it is crazy.
How did you find this not me yet, you know?
It's actually on Hulu.
Oh.
And you can watch it on everythingaction.com right now.
Wow, surprising.
As part of our Everything Action Theater. So, I think that's going to do it for show and tell, so why don't we get into news? So last week we got word that there's going to be a new Thundercats cartoon on Cartoon Network next year.
I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
And I think it's going to be by, I think it's Warner Brothers and Studio 4 Degrees C, which is, like, one of the biggest anime companies in Japan or something. They've been on, like the Animatrix and, like, Gotham Knights and Halo Legends. So they're going to be doing the animation for it.
All right, well, I think that the animation style of Gotham Knight was, I mean, eclectic, but still pretty cool in its own right. So, I mean, I guess I'd be interested to see what they do to the Thundercats.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about where my positive comments on it stop, because why? You know, the Thundercats were great. You know, as hokey as it may be, I mean, do you really need to bring back the Thundercats?
Well, they're bringing back everything from the 80s.
Well, see, I don't want them to go ways of, like, Voltron.
Well, Voltron is coming back, Chris.
I don't know, but they brought it back one time, and it was, like, really dumb. It was, like, that new CGI version.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was
where, like, they don't even need to ride the Voltron like cats. They just, like, think it, and, like, it'll do it.
That was on at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning when I was, like, Saturday morning, right. 7 o'clock in the morning.
All right, like, it wasn't, like, the Israeli, like, backwards cop.
It was, like, before Beast Wars.
Yeah, and it was really dumb, because it was, like, you're basically watching the equivalent of, like, a Geico car commercial. Like, just the graphics were so shitty, and you're just like, ugh. Why do they bring this back?
It's like ten frames of animation.
Yeah, and like they reuse footage.
Yeah,
like, not even like they would blatantly reuse footage, like a episode of Power Rangers or something like that. Just like they would zoom in and zoom out real quick, and it's like, this is all brand new scenes. Like, no,
Brian, do you have any thoughts about Thundercats?
I'm kind of getting sick of the whole anime inspired reboots. I mean, I think it kind of hit full tilt, and this is to be the first and last time I mention it, but Lunatics, the Looney Tunes one.
Oh, my God.
You know, it worked for two episodes, didn't it? Yeah. It worked for...
I think it jumped the shark with Animatrix.
Batman and... Are you talking about the Animatrix?
Yeah, the Animatrix.
I thought the Animatrix was awesome.
Yeah, but saying, like, after that, it was like just terrible.
Yeah, pretty much faded out. But, of course, I think at that was, like, the high watermark. Everybody was like, oh, so the Animatrix is cool, so I can do anime as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept art just doesn't inspire me at all. I think it'll get a few people nostalgic for it, but yeah, I don't see anything good from it.
Yeah.
I don't know. If they could redo the story a little bit where it actually makes more sense and, like, doesn't seem so morbid, like... Lino, he was a little boy in the beginning of the series, then, like, there's a freak pod accident where he ages, you know?
But his mind doesn't age, so he's like...
His mind doesn't age, right.
Like a man's body.
Yeah, like that's a terrible concept for like a furry show. But you know, I was a kid. But everyone, you know, it's like as a kid, like yeah. But as an adult, you're like, wait, what?
And they fight mummies.
Yeah, they fight mummies. What's a cat's natural enemy? Mummies.
Yes. And mutants.
Right. Hey, it was the '80s. Anything worked.
Yeah. Well, I wrote in the article. I said, I'll be excited when they get Mask back.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
It's G.I. Joe plus Transformers. It's like it's gold. So, anyway, next article we have, news story we have is some Captain America and Thor concept art leaked out last week.
It sure did.
So, did you guys take a look at it? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think Captain America is looking pretty bitchin', actually. Mm-hmm. I think it's the perfect combination of something we haven't seen before. In the sense that, you know, they basically just tweaked the Ultimate Captain America costume, and they sort of Dark Knightified it with, you know, some robotic-looking lines that don't really need to be there, but are, so that it looks futuristic and cool. I know a lot of people will probably, you know, complain that, you know, just as they complained with Batman not having lenses in his cowl for, like, 95% of the movie, that, you know, he doesn't have those little things, those white wings out of his head. Yeah, but, you know, those aren't very tactical, but like, then again, neither is a giant blue, like, swimming suit, so...
Or like a suit made of feathers.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I mean, will the movie be great? I'm not gonna touch that one, but the concept art, at least, looks pretty cool.
I actually like the feathers, because it's like, what's more degrading for an enemy if they're getting beat down by a guy who just throws his fist and has a shield wearing feathers? Like, four nations of, like, giant chicken man, like, beating our armies. Like, well, fuck, we can't beat America?
They're probably, like, bald eagle feathers or something, so.
That's probably why they're extinct, because they had to put all the bald eagle feathers on Captain America.
Yeah.
He did not think that one through.
America.
Good God, man. America.
Brian, what do you think?
I like Captain America. I think Thor is personally a little bit boring. I mean, just
well, I think
very Thor's drab.
I think it's really like it's pretty close to like Ultimate Thor kind of, but like it's kind of like a combination of Ultimate and Classic Thor without the helmet.
Should be a little more classic. I mean, I could go without the helmet, but it's a little too metallic and show-offy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, Captain America's bitching.
I wonder if that's like the World War II uniform, or is he going to have like a different uniform for World War II?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, nobody really knows, and that's part of the, you know, the allure, I guess, of leaked art.
Well,
I think
I heard somewhere like he's going to have like his like classic uniform for like, because he's going to be doing like promo pictures or something in like America, like selling war bonds and stuff. But then like when he goes to Europe, he's going to have like a more like battle ready uniform.
He's on, like, a float with, like, FDR, like, buy war bonds, beat Tojo.
Don't let Jerry into our shores.
Beat back those crowds.
Yeah, so definitely excited for those movies. Next story we got is more details about the reboot of The Crow. Are you guys fans of the original Crow?
I like the first movie.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, Brian.
Yeah.
The 1994 one.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Second one,
It kind of followed the path of Highlander.
Trini was in the second one.
Oh, God.
From Power Rangers.
Yay.
Represent. Okay, go on.
Yeah, I was going to – like, it followed the path of Highlander. Like, first one's awesome, then just, like, goes downhill. There's a TV series no one cares about. So, but Stephen Norrington, who is the guy who directed Blade, the first one, is supposed to write the screenplay for it, and Edward R. Pressman is producing it. He's produced like Conan, Wall Street, Bad Lieutenant, American Psycho, so he's done a bunch of stuff, and they're saying it's gonna be more true to like the graphic novel and stuff.
Ah, so it's gonna take place like it's because in the graphic novel, like the guy's revenge was like took months, not just like 1 week.
And it's gonna be in like sort of like a Mexico, Arizona setting, and then like going to like Detroit or Pittsburgh.
But that's the Crow works best in a like a crowded city, in a dark gothic setting. If it's like a desert, it's like the palest guy with like white makeup on his face is definitely the Crow, and it's like what's the allure?
And then they also said like the Crow itself is gonna be like a sort of like a creature. It's gonna have like a personality and stuff.
It's gonna talk?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I read that too. I don't know how I feel about that one. I mean, unless, you know, it's for comic relief and they make it like, you know, the Crows from Dumbo or something like that. That's pretty awesome. But, you know, I mean, do we really need like a talking or like emotional Crow to guide this guy in his revenge? I sort of like the original Crow that was just sort of like, you know, hey, I'm flying here. Why don't you follow me? We'll see what happens.
Well, what if the Crow is voiced by Mark Hamill?
Well, that could be pretty badass, actually, but I would prefer a Crow suit worn by Gary Busey. I think that would make a lot more sense.
Oh my god, yes.
Hey, Frigga, come over here!
You butthorn.
I'm going to show you the path of the Crow spirit. Now hold on to my hand and touch the crystal.
I'm going to rip out your endocrine system.
Oh man. I think we just pitched an awesome idea to Hollywood right there, so...
Yeah, really, you might want to copyright this stuff like ASAP, man.
Gary Busey is the Crow.
Like, what? Oh, no, man. No, he's just the A-Crow. The-
A-Crow.
You know what? I just say we strip him naked and dump black paint on him and just call it a day, you know?
Just, like, let him loose and, like, follow the camera.
Shoot it,
what we should do is just give him a camera and just have it be filmed like Cloverfield. Have it be that speak, like, first-person thing. It'll just be like Busey Cam, yeah. Give him, like, a helmet cam and just have him run around an actual city and just try to, like, send people on spirit journeys. That'd be pretty sick.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to post, like, one of his, like, crazy, like, rants under this episode. On the, like, his, like, one of his Life in Busey rants they did. Talking about waterfalls and stuff. So, moving on. The final news story we have to talk about this week is the trailer for Norwegian Ninja, which is from the producers of Dead Snow, which is that Nazi zombie movie that came out, I think, maybe last year or the year before.
And kicked ass, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the end was awesome.
Yeah.
Took a while to get there, but...
Yeah, it's a very slow zombie movie compared to, like, other American zombie movies where it's, like, the first opening scene is, like, a zombie, like, biting some girl in a shower.
Well, yeah, the Norwegian horror movies are sort of like the 50s American surf movies where, like, the first, you know, half of the movie is just like, hey, let's go to the beach, and then nothing happens until there's, like, 20 minutes left. You know, that's sort of what Dead Snow reminded me of, only with, like, you know, cold Norwegian kids.
Talking about, like, Dawn of the Dead and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At random.
See, I'm one of those guys who grew up with, you know, Dawn of the Dead movies where it's like the first 5 minutes, boom, zombie in your face. Mm-hmm. Like, they're coming to get you. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of, like, crazy old guy comes and, like, tells him, like, you're all gonna die.
Yeah, there's definitely not enough of that in contemporary horror movies.
Just, like, crazy old people just come and show up and then, like, get killed.
Yeah, crazy old people who, like, know that the place is haunted or cursed by some, you know, psycho, yet they live there anyway. They're like, fuck it, I'll roll the dice and I'll just, you know, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they outlive everybody.
So
or die in a tent, you know, whichever.
Yep. So did you guys get to check out the trailer for Norwegian Ninja?
Yeah, I did. It looked, you said it before, it looked a little more like Grindhouse, Black Dynamite, 70s style. Insanity.
It's pretty much like a 70s like espionage like martial arts movie.
Bingo, nailed it.
Based on like true Norwegian politician Arne Treholt, who was accused of being a spy during the Cold War. But like they're making him in this movie like this crazy like leader of like Norway's secret ninja force.
Nice.
So yeah.
The first rule of the secret ninja force is that you don't talk about the secret ninja force. Didn't they tell you that? God.
The second rule, the Norwegian Ninja Force, after retirement, you work on the Norwegian cruise line.
Awesome.
Sorry.
So, hopefully that comes out on DVD here sometime this year. So let's talk about DVDs coming out this week. There's not a lot, but there's some good stuff coming out. So the big release this week is Shutter Island.
Oh, God.
You didn't like it, Joe?
You know what? I feel like that movie was like a severe case of like storytelling blue balls, you know, where like they're working up to something that seems like it's going to have a really nice payoff at the end. And then they just give you the, it was a dream all along. You're crazy. That's blue balls.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what that is.
The twist did seem fairly obvious from the trailers.
Yeah. From the trailers and from like 5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, oh, really? Martin Scorsese? Like, you could do better, homie. Come on.
Chris, you or Brian, you guys didn't see it yet? Or?
No, I read about it, and I was like, I read about it, then I like read the comic, that it was the graphic novel based on the book, and yeah, you know, it was like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
They gave a little bit of hints, where it's like, it's like, no. Again, like Joe said, blue balls, I call it the push-up bra of suspense. It's like, as soon as like you're within range of like figuring things out, you know, well, the bra goes off, and then you're disappointed, and then there's a lot of apologies, there's a lot of anger.
Yep. So, also coming out this week is From Paris with Love, which is the Pierre Morel movie. Apparently, a very, very disappointing follow-up to Taken.
with a just as unlikely starring actor.
Mm-hmm.
Because Liam Neeson, you know, come on. I wasn't exactly expecting him to pull off Taken, but he did, and I was very surprised. And then, I don't know, when I think John Travolta, I think, you know, Wild Hogs. I don't exactly think, you know, borderline diehard movie. So.
Not like bald gangster assassin.
He looks like Mr. Clean with a goatee.
Yes. Like, he walked from the Taken of Pelham 1-2-3 to this movie.
Yeah.
It's probably a prequel when you stop and think about it.
Yeah, like he just gets fed up with like the government and just goes rogue.
Exactly. Then takes over Pelham 1-2-3.
Then he has to fight Denzel Washington. So also out this week, a bunch of TVs coming out this week. Curb Your Enthusiasm season 7's out, which I heard is a great show, but I've never seen it.
Again. It's one of those shows that if I had HBO and I had free time, might watch it.
Also, Nip Tuck, the final season.
I kind of want to get into that. It looks like a good show, but FX is one of those channels where it's like you really have to remember what number FX is on.
Yeah. Like, Justified is the big FX show right now.
Alright.
Also, A-Team, the complete series, conveniently is coming out this week.
Good lord.
In an awesome, like, A-Team van box.
And minigun included.
Well, you have to build a minigun out of, like, junk.
Ah, balls. Alright.
And then there's, like, a cigar and stuff. And,
and an actual hair from Mr. T's mohawk. That would be excellent.
Like a locket.
Yep. Shaped like a bullet, not like a heart.
Yep. And pretty much, like, if you watch, like, 5 episodes of that show, you've seen every single episode of that show. Because there's only, like, 3 different plots that they use. Like, they either get, all of them get captured, or someone gets injured, or, like, they get stuck somewhere.
No, there's one that's, like, a sassy reporter helps them, or some sort of, like...
Well, that was, like every episode. Like, the first episode, like, the pilot, like, the sassy reporter comes and, like, joins them.
And they're all, like, really pissed about it, too, for, like, the first season.
Yeah.
I know. I just watched the whole series this past year because they added it to Netflix Watch Instant.
Yes.
So I'd treat myself to an episode.
I watched, like, the whole first season. It's like, this is just the same thing over and over and over again.
I hate this bitch, Murdoch.
Best use of, like, car flipping in TV history, though.
Yes. For no reason at all sometimes.
It's not an 18 episode until the car flips sideways or something. Also out is Family Matters Season 1, finally.
Oh, sign me up.
I'll wait for the whole thing to come out, because I don't want to get to, like, 3 seasons in and they don't release the rest.
Go home, Steve.
Yeah, the first watching the first season is gonna be really weird because like Steve Urkel is not like the main character. He's like right. he just shows up for like a minute or so every episode until he'd be like he Fonzie'd the show and like took it over.
Fonzie'd the show.
Then it was like the rest of the show was just like, what crazy invention has Steve invented this week? Like,
oh yeah, he's trying to constantly mac on the people's gift. Yep. He's constantly trying to mac on the daughter of the family that is
Laura,
giving him shelter.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just like that. What balls on that
stuff.
Guy?
When the dad is like, I'm like, dad is like a cop.
Yeah,
yeah, he's also the guy you want to go pissing off, you know?
Yeah,
he's also making creations against nature. Fucking making robots, yep. Cloning himself.
Like, transforming himself into, like, a swab version of himself. Stefan.
Stefan Urkel. Oh, yeah.
Then there's, like, he had his cousin or something.
Myrtle.
Yeah. Well, wait, wasn't Myrtle his, girlfriend or something? And then, like...
No, Laura. No.
No, Myrtle was his cousin.
Yeah.
Who was from, like, the South or something.
Yeah.
God, why do I know this? I haven't seen this show in like 10 years, and I'm like, no, son, that's his cousin.
Because TGF is like in our DNA.
It bears into your brain.
Yeah, basically.
And Carl Winslow, because that guy has not found work ever after that.
Hey, he was in Die Hard.
Yeah.
Playing the same character.
He's always a cop. He's the best chubby cop ever.
Well, that's Carl Winslow Begins.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
He helps John McClane, and he just moves to like the suburbs of Chicago or whatever.
Like, I can't take this crap. And then he has to deal with Steve.
Which I was dealing with terrorists.
Whatever. Tomato, tomato.
Mm-hmm. So then, a couple things coming on Blu-ray this week. Caddyshack is on Blu-ray.
Finally.
I know.
Nice.
I finally get to see that stuffed, whatever the hell, gerbil or whatever the hell.
Yeah, you're going to see... You're going to be able to see the eyes of the Korean baby that they made wear the suit.
It's finally Rodney Dangerfield in HD. That's what the world needs right now.
Maybe that's why they were waiting until those 3D TVs were coming out.
Yes.
Because they just want it to have as much pop as possible.
Mm-hmm. And then the last thing coming out this week is The Illusionist on Blu-ray, which is like came out the same time as Prestige and got buried by it.
Like a week later, man. That was brutal. That was really brutal. I felt bad for that movie.
It's like you can watch Batman fight Wolverine with magic.
With David Bowie in the movie, by the way.
You can watch Ed Norton.
With the Goblin King? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You can watch Ed Norton brood with Jessica Biel for like 2 hours.
Tough choice.
I'm going to have to flip a coin on this one, gang.
Yeah. Prestige. I haven't seen The Illusionist, but like Prestige is like so awesome. Like...
So good.
Yeah. I can see why The Illusionist got buried. It's like Volcano and Dante's Inferno. Or Dante's Peak.
Yep. Or it's like Deep Impact and Armageddon.
Yes. All those classic rivalries.
Or Ants and A Bug's Life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
When?
Ants hits the loan. And then, I don't know. I've seen Ants like once. I don't even know like anything from it.
Woody Allen was in
it.
Oh,
my God,
Gene Hackman was in it.
Sharon Stone. DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm. They were not yet up to par with Pixar.
Not even close.
No. So I think that's going to do it for news and new release roundup. So why don't we get into our special feature for the week, which is the A-Team movie is coming out tomorrow. And we thought we'd do our top five list of the top five best TV to movie adaptations and then the one worst one. So you guys just want to go like round... Like, say our fives and then go keep going like that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I guess I'll start. My number five is Serenity, which is based on Firefly. And just not like a obsessed fan of that show, but I thought it was good. And then Serenity had, like, probably some of the best space battles ever. And then, like, and just great characters and stuff. So it was a... fun movie. You guys have any thoughts about it?
Never seen
it. Well, I don't want to, like, nerd rage, because I slowly got into Firefly, because everyone I knew in college was like, have you seen Firefly?
Yeah,
I was like, no.
And that's why I refused to see it.
Yeah.
Go against the man, Brian. No, I like it. You know, mm-hmm. Space Cowboys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Like that.
It's like Americanized version. Well, it's like an Americanized version of Cowboy Bebop, which I was a big fan of, and then it's like that was a selling point. A lot of people I knew try to like.
What about Bravestar, Chris? Remember Bravestar in the 80s?
Bravestar. No.
Where he had a robotic horse that turned into like he could like walk on two legs and talk to him.
Oh my god. Yeah, I remember now. It was like
I think it was New Texas or something.
Ugh.
So anyway, Brian, what's your five?
Okay, hold on. I gotta get it up here. All right, so counting down from five to one.
Just do five, Brian.
Oh no! Oh, number five.
Yeah, we're going around. So.
Okay, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first movie.
Yes. What?
Awesome.
The cartoon came first. I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Like I think it was like the movie was like a year after the cartoon when it started. I think. So I think the cartoon started like 89, and then like the movie was 90.
Yeah, it was. It was after.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just I like the second one too, but the first one's a little bit better, I guess.
Well, the first one's more like gritty and like realistic and stuff. It captured like more like captured the comic tone more.
Yeah.
As gritty and realistic as you can be when you're dealing with, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Correct. And I also love like how like the Foot Clan's massive plan is to, like steal VCRs and stuff.
Hey man, work your way up, you know.
Yeah. They have ninjas, but they're gonna steal like VCRs. And then sell them at like a higher price.
What profits? Let's not kill, you know, political figures to make a statement. Let's like sell cigarettes to like, you know, kids at our compound while they skateboard.
Oh my god, yes. The greatest hideout ever.
Oh man,
they had, like,
I know.
Bad boy. They had like the bad dudes machine and like listen to like hip hop and skateboarding and stuff.
A basketball court, yep. An indoor basketball court. Yep. Oh,
they had like underground fighting before the UFC like made it cool.
Yeah,
you know, that was pretty awesome.
Listen to like tag team and stuff.
Yep,
here it is.
That was, I think that was a little later, but maybe like Hammer.
Yes.
All right, so Chris, what's your number five?
The Saint.
Whoa.
Yeah. I used to watch that on TV.
Wait.
I told you, like, I hated it because it was what's a modern equivalent? It would be like,
where he disguises himself?
Yeah, but he's like, because they never really explain his background. It's like, he's just an international, like, agent.
We grew up in, like, the crazy, like, monastery thing.
Right, this was like the Catholic Church made him into a super spy, like, by accident. Yeah. And that was the whole gimmick of it. Mm-hmm. And it just started like a pre-Bond Roger Moore, and I like that, you know? Like, it was because of all those episodes of The Saint that they made Roger Moore Bond, and I was like, alright, it wasn't the best Bond, but it was like, it was compy, and it was okay.
Yeah. The movie, which you talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago.
Val Kilmer,
yeah.
Riding on his, like, peak of acting from, The Saint, The Shadow and Darkness with him and Michael Douglas kill a lion.
Oh, The Ghost in the Darkness.
The Ghost in the Darkness, and of course Batman Forever. And after that, he like
Tombstone.
Like that whole 3-year gap was just he crammed his whole career, and then he just locked himself away and fell into a vat of lard.
He made like Island of Dr. Moreau.
He's still kind of fat.
Yeah. But he's like embracing himself. He's like embracing like this like how ridiculous he is now, and like he's just going for it with like Bad Lieutenant and like MacGruber. So
yep.
All right, so Chris the Saint, Joe, you probably don't. Do you have like a favorite TV to movie adaptation?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about it while you guys have been talking, and I think number five for me would probably have to be Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh.
And the reason I say that is because it was such a great TV series.
Yes.
And then to, you know, cross over into, I guess, the 90-minute format and have it be just as well-received as the TV series, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And that's not something that they normally attempt with animated series of, you know, that caliber. So I got to give my props to that one.
Didn't that come out like the, like around the same time as, like, I think it was like Batman Returns maybe, or Batman Forever?
You know what? It was between the two.
Oh, it was between two, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, I watched an old, like, Ebert and Siskel and Ebert reviews, and they're like, this is better than the last Batman movie. It's a cartoon. Cartoons can be good.
Who would have thought that cartoons could kick ass? What the hell is that about?
I think that was, like, it's honestly not like, Under Siege is the best movie ever.
Well, obviously, yes. Who's going to fight that?
That's probably, like, one of my favorite reviews of all time, Siskel and Ebert Under Siege one.
I got to see Gary Busey in a dress, dude. I'm stoked. Best movie ever.
Tell us episode of Gary Busey.
Just to give you an update, guys, we're hitting our Gary Busey reference limit. The levels are dangerously high.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Nah, that's cool.
All right. So, yeah, Batman Mask Commando, that was definitely awesome.
Yep. Good choice.
Mark Hamill, probably one of the best Jokers.
The best Joker.
The best Joker. Yeah.
The best Joker, hands down. That's the voice of the Joker when I think of the Joker,
mm-hmm.
even when I read the comics.
Yeah.
So that has to say something, right?
Yeah.
Right, so let's go to number four. For my number four, I put Mission Impossible 3, which is my favorite Mission Impossible, directed by J.J. Abrams.
Yep.
And, I mean, just great. I think we've talked about, like, a bunch of times before, but, like, great action sequences. Philip Seymour Hoffman is, like, probably one of the best villains. He's just, like...
underrated.
Yeah, he's just, like, so ridiculously menacing. And then, I don't know, you got, like, Ving Rhames is back, and you got, like, John Rhys-Meyers. And then, probably the best Tom Cruise has ever been in the Mission Impossible movies. He actually has, like, a character instead of just, like, generic action guy.
Run away, man!
Yes! Jump off your motorcycle at the other guy, man. So, yeah, Mission Impossible 3 is, like, definitely super underrated.
Yep.
So, Brian, what's your number four?
SWAT.
Yes.
Sorry. I have a ridiculous boner for this movie.
That is, like, that's your stealth.
It's my stealth. It's on FX all the time, and I can't convince myself to change the channel.
Not watch. Yeah. I have a bunch of those movies, so.
I mean, I hate Colin Farrell pretty largely. There's been a handful of movies he's been good in, and I will include this one. It's just, I know, I like the action in it. It was good.
Mm-hmm. And Samuel Jackson. I mean.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong with that.
And, of course, Jeremy Renner, which is, like, I love, like, SWAT's cameo at the Oscars this year. Colin Farrell's like, yo, bro, remember when we made SWAT?
Yeah. I knew one day SWAT would make the Oscars, but that's not the way. But, I was like, I watched the Hurt Locker, I'm like, who the hell is that guy? He looks so familiar. And then it took the Oscars for me to figure it out. I was like, oh, he's the douche from SWAT. The douche not named... The douche not named Colin Farrell. Who would have thought?
Yeah. There's definitely some, like stylish stuff in that movie, too. Like the... when they're taking over the bus, and, like, they're, like, using, like, the handy cam footage from, like, the people across the street and stuff.
And then there's the scene where they quote-unquote discover LL Cool J's character, and he's, like, running down, and, like, the camera's following him.
Yeah,
and it's,
yeah.
Like, really intense. Yeah, I liked it.
I love that part. Like, they're talking to the guy, like, that like, straight-laced cop. He's like, I'm going to get a veggie dog and a bottle of water. It's like, I don't trust the man to don't eat meat.
Yeah, he throws his folder out. Yeah. That's funny. So, yeah, SWAT's good.
And also, like, the helicopter scene on the roof, that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, so, SWAT, bro. Controversial choice, Brian.
Hey,
that's one of those like defense movies that you have to defend that movie to everyone.
Yep. See, I don't know.
I've got
like,
about 10
I can't.
Of those, so.
I could see people just not giving a shit about it, but I can't see people like straight up hating it or not liking it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think it's movies. Like you either like it or you're just like apathetic toward it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, oh yeah, I remember that movie came out.
It was alright.
Yeah. All right, so Chris, what's your number four?
Superman.
Which one? The original?
The original.
Okay.
Like the Christopher Reeve Superman one.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that was based on the like the old, like the 50s show or something, right? Or
yeah, it's pretty much it's a classic formula, and you know, it was made before like superhero movies could be dark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. Like, it was really good adaptation. It had a really good following. Like, it's a Superman movie. You can't go wrong until Superman Returns, where, you know, he had a kid. But let's not talk about that. So, like, you know, it sets a really good origin. It has really good, like, effects for the time. It had Marlon Brando in it.
Yes.
Yep.
So, even you use him again. Like,
wasn't Gene Hackman was the villain in that one, right? He was Lex Luthor?
Yep. Yep.
He sure was.
Yeah.
I think
the first Superman.
This one or the second Superman where, like, he revealed he was bald.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. Anyone remember that? Because he looks at Superman and pulls off his hair and he's like, look.
For the shocking, like, reveal. Yeah.
This is what you did to me!
Yeah. Skin where hair should be.
This is what Krypton Knight does.
And it's a Superman movie that captures like the 70s or like the late 70s. You know, where like news reporters were like investigating things, like young women like Lois Lane at that time, like instead of being like an independent woman, like she always got in trouble.
Yep.
She always found herself in situations that like no one normally gets into, like, you know. How about this? It's easy to summarize like the whole Superman series of that time as the category, because like each movie was pretty much like a build up to the next and the next and the next.
I would like eliminate 3 and 4 from that.
Is that the one with Richard Pryor?
I think three is Richard Pryor, and like 4 is like Nuclear Man or whatever that was. I think
Solar Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like wannabe Doomsday type guy.
Yeah.
Who looks like Draco.
But 2 was like freaking awesome though. General Zod.
Kneel before Zod.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what was the one where Superman, like, he flies the Earth back in a different rotation and everything goes back in time? Is that
was
three
the first movie.
Alright, yeah, think. So...
Yeah.
Like, it's such a, like, that could happen in, like, the 50s comic and even, like, the TV series and, like, you know, it's like no one had a really good grasp of physics and shit, so they're like, alright, I guess that could make sense.
But, like, my God, he's done it.
Like, yeah, like, in episodes like Super Friends and stuff, he used to move the Earth out of orbit. He could, like, punch the sun out and then bring it back.
That didn't cause any problems.
Not at all.
So, you know, this movie is just so, like, they just wanted to make a Superman movie, no matter how crappy the script would be.
Mm-hmm.
And it still was pretty good.
All right, so you're saying...
Agreed.
You're, like, lumping all the Superman movies into one, Chris, and you're cheating.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, it's like...
It's fine.
It's like... Okay.
Alright, and I just got handed a note that, Joe, you have to go, but, you're gonna talk... You have 4 TV series that should have had movie adaptations?
Yes, I think they didn't, they deserved it, and they should have had it. So at the top of that list is something we were actually talking about a little bit earlier, Family Matters. Just imagine what that would have been like
at
the height of its popularity. Imagine seeing bus stops with just one print, you know, the posters, with just Urkel's face. You wouldn't have to write anything on it. Just Urkel's face and a date. That's it. We know what's going down. After that, we have a childhood classic of mine, Dinosaurs, the beloved television series.
Yeah, maybe they can explain if they survived the Ice Age.
The most depressing series finale of all time.
Awesome. I know. I mean, I think it would have been phenomenal if we had a little follow-up, you know, or maybe just, you know, a Christmas special even. That would have been nice. It's like, hey, look, we survived, and it's Christmas. You know, that would have been a nice spin.
They did, like, the center of the Earth or something. Or, like, blast off into space.
Yeah, right? Or, like, dinosaurs go to the Caribbean. That would be kind of nice, too.
Hey, it's not the Ice Age here.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have to, like, make new friends and shit. That'd be kind of cool. After that, this one, it comes a little bit out of nowhere, but I think old people deserve to go to the movies and see stuff they like, too. Golden Girls.
Oh, man.
They did. It was called Sex in the City.
Pretty much.
Yeah. ha ha. But you know what? I think Golden Girls, you know, is a sassy show. Okay, I will give it that. Okay, I find myself laughing at it when it's on. Not that I watch it, but you know, I think that it would have given old people, you know, a real sense of camaraderie, other than, you know, hey, we're old. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would have been, like, you know, a nice little event for them. They could have, you know, gotten their buggies and gone to the cinema, things like that.
Their nickel, their wooden nickel.
Exactly. Hey, Sonny Jim, one ticket, please. You know,
hey,
something
Chris,
like that.
Chris, you're wrong. It's not like Sex and the City. I mean, the women on Sex and the City are older, so it's like it's totally different.
Yes.
And less appealing, mm-hmm. if you ask me.
Anyway. Yeah.
R.I.P. everyone except Betty White.
Yeah, and then my number one movie that should have had an adaptation, and I'm not sure if this is cheating or not, because it did almost have an adaptation, would have been Batman Beyond. And the reason I say that is because I thought that it was an awesome TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was a little unrealistic and not, you know, so much for adults or, you know, late teens as the original Batman animated series was. But I can tell you that when I spoke to Michael Uslan, the producer of all the Batman movies, who actually visited my school last year, he told me that the WB actually paid a lot of money to Clint Eastwood just to keep his schedule clear for the summer that they were going to go into production. So he never signed anything. He never was officially, you know, set to play old Bruce Wayne / old Batman. But because he had such a great relationship with Warner Brothers, and because they wanted so badly to make this movie, they said, here's a big sack of money. You just, you know, don't do anything for a while. And he agreed. But, you know, problems with directors and agreeing on licensing and how many vehicles should appear in the movie so that Mattel will be happy, blah, 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 caused it to never get off the ground. And I think that's a damn shame.
Wow. Learned something new.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there like a special or something, like the Joker or whatever, the Return of Joker or something like that?
Well, yeah, they did have the animated movie, Return of the Joker, which, you know, I personally could do without. But as far as like a live-action adaptation of it
mm-hmm.
goes,
yep.
That's something they really wanted to do, especially around the second season when they realized, hey, this A, hasn't been canceled, and B, is actually doing pretty well. You know, I think there is one factor that could have changed my opinion on this, and that would be had they offered the Bruce Wayne / old Batman role to one Gary Busey.
Yes!
Oh, he's a fucked up recluse who lives in a mansion all by himself. He talks to dead paintings, or paintings of dead people, and he has a big dog that looks like, you know, a really pissed off Marmaduke.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't scream Busey to you, then, sir, you don't know the same Gary Busey I do.
You butt horns.
Exactly.
We should just go up to, like, a big major studio and be like, two words, Gary Busey, and then just, like, name off all the ideas we came up with tonight.
Gary Busey.
That'd be pretty great.
As a crow, as Batman.
As old, senile, whacked out Batman, more importantly.
Yep.
Awesome.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, it was
no
awesome.
Thank you.
Hopefully I'll be back soon.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, take
article.
Care, gang.
Bye.
Yeah, you got it. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Moving on.
Yep.
Three, correct?
Yep.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Good choice.
Yeah. One of the best musicals ever.
Yeah, and they nailed that aspect down. And I remember specifically watching the Oscars just to see Robin Williams do Blaine Campbell.
Oh my god,
yep.
That was a good one.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, wonderful movie. You know, all the overly Christian people were like, you know, obsessed with hating it, but you know, awesome. Awesome.
Oh, it's really hard for a movie it's usually movies for a TV show that like are near its peak, like, have a movie, like, that's it. That's usually how they end the series. But, like, they had a South Park movie, like, what, after the fourth season? Fifth season, maybe?
Yeah, and it totally wore them out.
Well, yeah, but like
Simpsons
they kept
movie
going,
came out
though.
Like 20 episodes in, or like 18 episode seasons in, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, but the Simpsons are like it's like an unruly house guest that you just love to hate, you know, like you can't get rid of them, but you don't want them really to go.
Yeah, well, it's like a pup. You got it as a puppy, and it was like you love that puppy, but then it's like now it's like peeing all over the floor and like
right.
And... but you don't want to put it down.
No, because like now and then it like makes it laugh or like smiles, yeah. But they're like look at all the mess I got to clean up after it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's weird, but, like, I prefer South Park now, like, because it's, like, their animation's better.
Topical.
They're more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's not too many shows, like, now, like, now TV shows are copying that, like, relevant formula, like, with Family Guy, you know, like, popular topics, which you could tell, like, they're reflecting, like, so soon. But South Park, like, they were on the ball on that, like, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
Yep. So that was an awesome movie. Chris, what's your number three?
Okay, I got a question about this rule. Is it TV series that became movies or movies that have TV series also?
It's TV series that got movie adaptations.
Oh, because I wanted to pick Harry and the Hendersons because that was like a movie and then a TV series. But I can erase that. And I put Hey Arnold, the movie.
Of all the Nickelodeon movies, you picked that one.
Well, it had action, and it wasn't like a stupid Rugrats movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Doug movie, which was horrible.
Yeah, like, I forgot what happened.
I never saw the Doug movie, I don't think.
So I loved Hey Arnold, because like, I grew up in Brooklyn. And,
yeah.
And I used to sit on my stoop, and I was friends with a black person, and
was like a crazy crazy Jewish grandpa.
Sure,
Chris, you didn't know a black person. Come on, that's only in the
public
TV
school. I don't know, and there was I was taught by one of a blatantly like closet gay guy, so I'm just listening to things from the TV show. Some people might
okay,
your head
know that, but...
your head is not football shaped though, Chris.
That's true. I didn't have, like, that Hey Arnold Stewie head thing going on. But, yeah. It was a good, like, end to the series because it kind of answered certain questions. It left it open for, like, possibly a continuation, but it was not necessary if it just was the end.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was a perfect, like...
So you're saying it's better than the Lost finale, Chris?
Never know. It might be a lost movie, a lost spinoff. You know, we just don't know. It's so soon. But Hey Arnold was like they waited a few months after the series kind of ended, and then they made the movie, and then that was it.
Yep.
Then they burned the production studio with the staff inside.
Shut down Nickelodeon Studios. That was a dark day for all us 90s kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
No more slime.
Well, because then after that, it was like Rocket Power, and that was like...
Oh, my God, yeah.
They played that over and over again until they had to think of new things.
Until they got SpongeBob.
And, like, and Jimmy Neutron and
yeah.
Whatever. But anyway, let's go.
New cartoons suck!
Yeah. Fuck you,
damn,
new generation.
Damn kids.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I probably didn't. Ren and Stimpy, Angry Beavers, Aria, Monsters, Hey Arnold.
Yeah, they're on Netflix.
First two seasons
yep.
are all on Netflix, so I want to check that out. Really
yeah.
to head.
All right, so my number three, I was doing my list today. I was like, "Oh crap, I forgot Star Trek was a TV show." My number three is Wrath of Khan.
On my Netflix queue.
I mean,
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, like, just like I think it was after like the show ended, but like the original cast get like Shatnering it up. Classic Khan.
Yes.
Yep.
And like Ricardo Montalban is just an awesome villain with
he's so suave and debonair.
His fake chest muscles.
Yeah.
It's like plastic chest muscles. And just an awesome space battle where like Shatner uses his wits instead of like usually like, he uses like his brawn, but he uses his wits this time. Proves that he's like tactical instead of just like having a bad fight scene with someone. A badly staged fight scene.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just, it's a classic movie. And I haven't seen, I gotta start watching, like, the old, I've seen that one, and then I have to, like, watch, like, Search for Spock and stuff. But, like, every other Star Trek movie is a good movie, apparently.
Did you see the reviews for, like, Nemesis and...
Well, I think it was, like, what, the rule is, like, the even number ones are the good ones or something? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing about the odd ones, I think.
Yeah. Like, First Contact was good.
Yeah, that was all right.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. All right, so number two, Brian, what's your number two?
The Fugitive.
Hmm.
Originally based on the TV show.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Harrison Ford.
Surpassed the TV show in pretty much every way now.
Yes. Academy Award winner Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
Best roles.
Yeah, he was best supporting actor for that, right?
Correct.
Yep.
The tunnel scene.
Yep.
One of the all-time greats. And that's all I can say. It's just awesome. Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It also follows the Harrison Ford formula of, where's my family? Or,
yes.
Why'd you kill my wife?
Well, his family's dead, so.
I was just gonna mention that, but then I realized, well, I think he was doing that a lot before that movie came out. But
yeah, he follows the formula.
That was kind of, like, well,
follow the signs of it.
That was sort of like the middle of that. Because, like, he wasn't really doing that, like, Indiana Jones or anything, but, like, starting, like, after, like, Last Crusade and stuff, we started doing, like, Clear and Present Danger and stuff. That's when he started doing, like, where's my family?
Well, he did it heavily in Firewall.
Yeah, oh my god, yes.
Please do not mention him.
I'm going to scan this paper with my daughter's iPod.
So dumb.
But there's an awesome death in that. Like, awesome, like, Paul Bettany gets killed in an awesome way in that movie. With a freaking pickaxe.
Ugh.
He should have done, like, a freaking, like, one-liner. They're like, you've just been axed. Or something.
Can I ask you a question? Oh.
Yeah. Can I pick your brain?
No.
Okay. Chris, what's your number two?
Skip for me now. Like,
okay, I'll do mine.
Let me think about it.
So my number two is Wayne's World, which is the best SNL movie. It's not saying much, but Wayne's World, it's a comedy classic.
It's good.
If you haven't seen it, like, up to this point, like,
get out of that rock.
Yes. Come out of your cave. Come on, your, like, nuclear bomb shelter and go watch it. My favorite scene is probably the product placement scene where, like, Rob Lowe tells them they have to, like, have Noah's Arcade on their – because Noah's Arcade sponsors the show, so they have to have the guy on the show to shill to the sponsors. And he's like, we will not shill to any sponsors. And then, like, they pull out, like, the Doritos. Like Pizza Hut and Pepsi. It's like, yes, it's the choice of a new generation. The Pepsi and everything. I can't talk right now. I have a headache. Here, take two of these. Little, yellow, different. So, yeah, and Rob Lowe, probably one of the greatest douches of all time in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then just Bohemian Rhapsody scene, like, pretty much every scene in that movie, you can name it, like, a comedy classic scene. So that's my number two. Do you have one yet, Chris, or?
I'm trying to organize my thoughts. It's probably the Addams Family.
The original or Addams Family Values?
The original. Because, it was such a, like, out of nowhere, like, it was almost like the Marmaduke of that time, because, like,
oh,
really?
My God.
You know, like,
I wouldn't go that.
It's
like,
gonna be, well,
that's kind of harsh, Chris.
Well, come on. It's like the Addams Family was from, like, in the New Yorker from, like, the 50s or 60s. You know, like, it was an old comic strip, and there's, like, one panel.
Yeah.
And it was a political satire of of like just like common rich life, and it was such that like that good like satire, like the gothic satire.
Yeah,
that it's like how can they? It's like that they made it into a TV show where it was just like it was funny because it was like the Munsters, you know, like it was like that era of just like simple comedies, like family comedies.
Yeah.
And then they threw in, like, this dark element that came out of nowhere about the new Addams Family.
Was there, mean, you, it's really, like, I'm surprised Tim Burton didn't direct these movies, because it's very Tim Burton.
Right. Yeah. It was during that era where it's, like, he was probably inspired by it, by the gothic tones.
Yeah.
Because look at Christina Ricci. Like, she was in it, and then she was, like, this little freaky girl, and she just grew, like, a bigger head as she got older. She looks like a Bratz doll that came to life, but...
yeah.
And the role Raul Julia was born to play,
right? Yeah, he had that nice thick, nice pencil, small mustache. He Angela Hudson, like perfect mortish, like
Christopher Lloyd.
That's Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester, and yeah, then like
I preferred the second one because like the first one was like, is it really Uncle Fester or is he like this like crazy imposter guy?
I thought it was. I
the
thought
second
it was,
one was like. Like Wednesday and Pugsley go to camp and stuff, and they like destroy the camp.
Yeah.
Yep. And Uncle Fester gets kind of hooked up with that gold digger slash murderer.
Yep. Yeah. So that's
and what... the best part of that second movie was like the baby with the mustache.
Oh my god! Yes.
Yep.
Then they had like the crazy like cell like the party in the cemetery or whatever the hell for like all the relatives game. There's like 20 its and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, it was like a baby it or something.
Yeah, there's
like
baby
that.
It. Because their neighbor from the first one, like, hooked up with it. Yeah, so
the lawyer's wife.
Yeah.
Hooked up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not bad, too, Chris.
that's not bad, too. I was thinking Simpsons movie, but I was like, yeah, I already did a cartoon movie.
Yeah. All right, so let's go with number ones quick. My number one is The Fugitive. We already talked about it. Harrison Ford, just awesome. Like, I can watch the movie anytime. Whenever it's on AMC or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Great, like, that guy cast, too. Like, Joey Pants is in there and all sorts of stuff. So, Brian, what's your number one?
Mission Impossible.
The original?
And, yeah.
See, I hate the original.
I like 3. 2 gets a little too ridiculous. The first one I had to watch, like, 3 times in order to fully get what
I know.
Was going on. But, I don't know, I liked it. It was,
It's like, the first one was like, John Voight, but it's Tom Cruise, but it's John Voight.
I know, it's got a little silly.
Rip my mask off!
But, I love the, helicopter crashing at the end. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, at the time, the special effects were, like, ridiculous. It's a little cheesy to look at now, but it was ridiculous at
And, of course, like, the classic, like, Tom Cruise is suspended in the, getting the knock list or
whatever.
Yeah.
From
the computer, yeah.
Yep.
I never seen so many
parody
like,
to death.
Parodies after that.
I know.
Yeah, that. Oh,
that's up there with the Matrix.
The bullet time.
So, since I like 3 a lot, but I got to go with the original for this.
Right. So, Chris, what's your number one?
It'll probably have to be Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, Best of Both Worlds.
Shut your mouth.
No.
Oh, damn it, Chris! I just realized you didn't see Killers this week.
My mom didn't want to go. She said she had a headache, so...
You have to see it sometime, Chris, because...
I need to, like...
That is your most familiar movie of the summer, so...
I'll take my my parents out for Father's Day. Be like, hey, let's go see The Killers. That's a good gift.
Yes.
I get disowned.
As long as you talk about it on this show, Chris, we'll be good, so...
Yep.
So what's number one.
Number one would probably be Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Yes.
Ooh, that's an honorable mention for me. I almost considered it in my top 5.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot that it was, like, based on a TV show, you know? It's kind of one of those things where, like, your mind just kind of ganks that. Like, oh, like, I was a fan. I was kind of a fan of, like, I was kind of actually too young to understand, like, the TV show itself.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, years later, as I watched it, I was like, oh, I get it. Like,
I never got, like, the, like, when they, I always flipped the channel when they talked about the music videos. But then, like, when I got, to, like, the box set, I was like, why didn't I ever watch these music videos? Because this is the best part of the show.
Right.
It's like Mr. Science Theater. It's like Mr. Science Theater for music videos.
as a kid, I didn't really get it because I didn't really get like what was going on. But then, like, by the time I was like able to get it, it was like the movie came out. Then they just like did not show the TV show anymore.
Yeah,
It was like that movie came out. Then Daria was like almost done, and then they just delete. MTV got rid of the cartoon series, and like that was the dumbest move they can ever do.
Mm-hmm.
They started re-airing it on MTV2. Yeah. I think shortly after the Mike Judge collection started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's
usually, I think it's on, well, I think Jackass is on all the time now, but it used to be on, like, Fridays at, like, 11 or, like, midnight or something like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know, something about Mike Judge things where it's, like, when they first initially come out, like, no one really likes them, but then, like, it grows on you.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, I didn't like King of the Hill when it first came out.
Like,
because,
like, Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, like, the animation is horrible in the first seasons. Like, it's absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
It looks like he's having strokes midway
the voices
through.
Are, like, terrible, too. But, like, eventually he, like, works out the kinks and it gets good.
Yep.
Right. I didn't see what the new one he's doing. The new, like, cartoon show he has on Comedy Central.
Oh,
The Good,
Good Family? Yeah.
Okay. It used to be on ABC.
It's like the complete opposite of The King of the Hill, right?
Right.
Yeah,
it's about
a bunch of, like,
liberal. Yeah.
So.
There are some funny jokes. I watched two episodes and it was nothing really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, why don't we talk about, Charlie sent me his list quick, since he's not here, we can probably just go through it quick. Number five, A Goofy Movie, based on Goof Troop.
Funny enough, I saw that was on Disney Channel a couple weeks ago, and I actually sat down and watched the whole thing, and it's good.
Did you guys see, like, on College Humor, they had, like, the guy, like recreated the opening in live action?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
it is
ridiculous.
He's doing a song on
his
characters.
Yep.
I don't know how, I think he bribe half his school to help him. Like,
I think so, yeah.
That's really hard. For those who haven't seen it, like, YouTube it now. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome video.
Mm-hmm. So, his number four is Batman Begins.
Okay.
Which, I guess...
I have Superman, he can do that.
You could say, like, it's based on, like, the Adam West TV show or whatever. So, his number three...
Loopholes.
Yeah. Number three is Blues Brothers for him. Based on
what?
SNL sketch.
I think that kind of beats,
what'd you say?
Wayne's World? Well, Charlie put Blues Brothers for number three.
Oh, yeah, the original's pretty good.
Yeah. Awesome car chase. His number two, which is, me and Brian were, like, scratching our heads at this one, but The Avengers. With Uma Thurman and Sean Connery as the bad guy.
There's not too many movies with Sean Connery as a bad guy, so.
I know. And he has, like, a weather dominator.
Weather dominator.
that's the only reason that movie shows on, like, that movie's on Weather Channel all the time.
Really?
Because it controls weather, so it's, like, on Weather Channel. Because
it
started showing
movies.
It has
two settings. It's either, like, on
tornadoes
or
it's, like, tornadoes or lightning storms or whatever.
Yeah, there's never, like, oh, it's spring. It's always, like...
I'm just going to make a drizzle.
Yeah.
Foggy drizzle.
He's a villain. He needs to have it do crazy shit.
Take this, Florida. Fog.
Shit you haven't seen before.
Oil spill. Oh.
like Hawaii. Here's a cloud, Hawaii.
I was going to originally go Katrina, but then I realized...
Oh, God, no. And then, so Charlie's number one, which is, I don't know if he's psychic or he had, like, a premonition, but he says Avatar The Last Airbender.
That's too early to jump the gun. We
that's
don't know
that. That's what they do, but...
Especially with Shyamalan Ding Dong involved there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, like, we haven't heard any of the kids talk yet or anything. We don't know. Like, we haven't seen any acting in that movie. It's just, like, special effects. Looks awesome.
No, no. You see, like, the villains talk a lot about, like, that boy. We need to get him. We need to destroy him. That boy. Like, that's the whole new trailers.
So, you guys want to do a quick... What do you think is the worst TV to movie adaptation?
Yeah, I'm going to go with something that Charlie already put here because I can't think of anything at the top of my head right now. The Big Do-Right with Brendan Fraser.
Yes. Pretty much Brendan Fraser is like the king of horrible TV movie adaptations, like George of the Jungle and like...
I love George of the Jungle.
It was all right. It was all right, yeah.
It has its charms.
It had Tom Sand Church in it.
The Big Do-Right was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I don't... I think probably the only movie worse than that movie is Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh.
Robert De Niro. Cash a check.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Sad.
So, Chris, what do you think?
G.I. Joe, the movie. Not the cartoon one. The newer one.
The new one? Not Transformers? Revenge of the Fallen?
No. I went. There were people in that movie theater when I went to go see that. When I went to see G.I. Joe, it was just like me.
Awesome. Private screening.
It was pretty shitty, because, like...
It was.
Like, instead of calling it Government Issue Joe, or was it, like, just, like...
Or G.I. Joe were, like, a global, international team, secret team.
Global International Joes. I'm just like, wait, Joes are the...
Like, Dennis Quaid.
Control all, like, the nation's world police. Like, it was... They were world police of all most Americans. They had one guy who was a Middle Eastern, like...
Yeah.
Communication guy, like dial tone or that
guy's
name.
Couldn't they have like, someone like an English accent or something, or like maybe like a Asian person or something? Maybe, I don't know.
No, they got the whitest group and like one sort of tan guy,
yeah.
And that was their like international group.
And Channing Tatum's like, sort of black hole of acting.
Right, and there was never like a G.I. Joe movie should have like one guy whose special interest should be something really fucking useless, but like, you know, it's like. Like, you know, they're stupid characters that are, like, their code name. Like, wetsuit. All he had was a fucking wetsuit on.
Yep.
And you'd be only useful, like, in water.
Firefly. Or Firefly.
Guessing, no, Firefly was a villain.
Yeah.
It was Barbecue. That was the that was his nickname.
What was,
he was good.
What was the point of
like,
Shipwreck's point? Was he just, like, he was a good sailor?
He knew how to anchor a fucking boat. I shit you not. That's on his, like, info card.
Train parrots.
Yeah, and, like, yell at Joe's and get drunk during the morning.
Mm.
And, like, they didn't have that in the movie. Everyone was, like, the same generic soldier.
Yeah, with super RoboCop suits and stuff. And
right. No, they gave the rookies the most expensive armor slash, like, mech suit, and they blow the shit out of it within the first, like, 20 minutes of its first use. You know, it's like, really? They just learned how to use a suit.
Yep.
And you're not surprised they break it?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, G.I. Joe, that was pretty terrible. And my like worst TV to movie adaptation, I'm gonna say Miami Vice. Like, if you think you hate Colin Farrell after watching SWAT, watch Miami Vice. Cause it's just like 2 hours of like Colin Farrell, like, oh man, I'm so conflicted, I don't know what to go.
I'm so Vice.
Oh man, like I need some like alternative rock to play while I'm driving a speedboat around. I got like. Michael Mann, I don't know how he like screwed that up so bad. He made the damn show.
He just forgot how he made it, I guess.
And like I think that was the start of his like using like video instead of like digital, so it kind of looked crappy. It looked like you couldn't tell like the big gun shootout at the end. You couldn't really tell like who was who and like what the hell was going on.
You don't know who's winning or who's been shot.
It's like where is Crockett and Tubbs? Oh, we don't know. They're just, like, shooting at people. They're probably behind that car. I don't know.
I just, like, remember that movie? The most vivid part of the movie, like, everything was in the evening.
Yeah.
Everything had, like, an overcast of shadows on it, so you couldn't tell exactly what time it was or, like, why everyone's wearing sunglasses at night.
There's no plot in the movie. Just, like, oh, there's generic drug dealers, and, like, I'm gonna, like, go undercover. But then, like, I meet this girl, so maybe I'm conflicted about what I'm doing. It's just...
You know, you know who that movie is missing? Gary Busey.
Like, yeah, maybe he could have, like, brought some flavor to it, like, as the villain or something.
So I think the official title for this episode should be the Gary Busey episode.
Yeah, it is.
There we go.
An All-Star Rookie of the Year. Told you that movie was, like, I had to watch it.
So Charlie, we already said he'd put the other right. We also put Good Burger, which is a travesty. That is not the worst. That's not one of the worst TV.
That is one of the best.
Definitely.
Nickelodeon like skits from
Abe Effin' Vigoda.
When it was aired on MTV a couple months ago, Good Burger made the trending topics on Twitter. That's all I'm gonna say.
Because everyone loves that movie.
Sinbad was in it. Yeah.
I know.
Like, and so was George. Not George Collins. Not. I don't know the funk guy. He was the guy. He was like he had the musical number in the insane asylum.
George Clinton.
George Clinton. That's it.
Yes. There's so many people in that movie.
And I remember years later, the Burger King would actually make an actual Mondo Burger with their like 50% more beef. Does Burger King still sell those hamburgers, the cheeseburgers like that? Like the giant like.
I don't think so.
No.
Damn. Cause I remember, like, that burger came out, and I was like, this reminds me of Good Burger. Like, this is natural. No, no, like, real meat is in this. This is
they all
made out of hair. Yeah.
Oh, and so, yeah. So there's been a lot of good TV adaptations, been a lot more horrible ones. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see how the A-Team does, where it fits in that category. Yep. So I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. If you want more, you can go to www.everythingaction.com, where you can we have features going up every day. You can search, download the episodes and stuff. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Everything Action, and you can become a fan on there. And we're also on Twitter, which is twitter.com/EVAction. And you can go to iTunes and search for Everything Action Cast in the iTunes Music Store and subscribe there. So for Brian and Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.